Good morning, Winnipeg. Good morning, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this morning at TSN1290.ca and via the iHeartRadio app, we welcome you to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, featuring Day 2 coverage, rounds 2 through 7 of the NHL Draft, taking place live in Dallas, Texas. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, joined in studio by my colleagues Dave Minuk and Ezra Ginsberg. We're going to be with you this morning and this afternoon, right through the conclusion of the NHL draft, bringing you as many of the Winnipeg Jets draft picks as possible, and hopefully Jets general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff as the day unfolds. The Jets, of course, no first-round pick in yesterday's day one. They will pick 60th overall, so we should hear from them in the next, 30 minutes, give or take, as the Jets make their first selection in the 2018 NHL Draft. I say good morning to Ezra Ginsberg. I say good morning to Dave Minuk. Gentlemen, good to see you on this Saturday morning. Welcome to Day 2 coverage of the NHL Draft.
Good to see you boys, too. First of all, it's weird not to be in Dallas,
right?
Because we've been at every draft since 2013. We were actually in St. Paul in 2011. The only draft that we haven't been to since the Jets have been back was the 2012 draft that was in Pittsburgh. So weird not to be in Dallas, but obviously, you know, I have a newborn at home, so my wife Naomi was not going to allow me to go.
Excuses.
And also just weird, Drew, because as you just mentioned, the Jets didn't have a first-round pick, so a pretty boring night for Kevin Cheveldayoff and his amateur scouting staff, but this draft was wide open, and even though there wasn't that big trade maybe that we were all expecting, whether that was going to be, Drew, an Erik Karlsson, or, you know, you heard Jeff Skinner might be on the move. Philip Grubauer was traded to the Colorado Avalanche, not the team that we thought he was going to be traded to. We thought it was going to be maybe the Islanders. Pretty exciting in the sense that it was very unpredictable. I mean, you had Joe Valeno going 30th overall. You had Philip Zadina going 6th overall. Some scouts had him ranked as high as 3.
I thought it was a dull evening. I mean, the lead up to it, I mean, and it's always the situation, Dave, is that the hype never actually matches the reality. You thought it was going to be wheeling and dealing. You thought there was going to be Erik Karlsson moved. You thought Jeff Skinner was going to be moved.
Ryan O'Reilly's another guy.
Yep. You heard Max Pacioretty. You thought it was going to be an absolutely chaotic night. It was absolutely a silent night. The only player who was actually traded, you mentioned, was Philip Grubauer. That happened about an hour or so before the draft started. And then there was some swapping of draft picks where a team would move down a few slots. The Toronto Maple Leafs moved down a few slots, and they got a third-round pick in exchange, you know, to trade with the St. Louis Blues. All in all, Dave, a pretty quiet day one of the NHL draft. Personally, my hope is that means that today is going to be wild and crazy. Usually not how it works out, but fingers crossed that would give us a lot of good quality content over the next 4 hours of coverage as we bring it to you here on TSN 1290.
Yeah, there's no question, Drew, and I think that's exactly what they were waiting for. They were saving it up for our show. They knew that we had 4 hours of content to fill, so they figured why not save for the Illegal Curve guys. Further to Ezzy's point, it is a little bit unusual to not be scurrying around the arena, you know, trying to grab the draft picks, trying to do all this stuff. So it was a bit of a relaxing evening. I enjoyed it, actually. I mean, obviously still watching the coverage and still covering the Jets angle of things, but definitely different from the Jets' perspective, not a usual position to be in, but again, one that they're probably not upset about based on how things went throughout the regular season.
Well, let's get talking about the first round of the NHL draft. Of course, that happened last night, and we're going to bring Mike McIntyre in. He's live in Dallas at the draft. We'll bring him in about 15 or so minutes, probably ahead of the Jets' first pick for the Jets. It will be in the second round, number 60 overall. The draft, they said, started at number 3 with the Montreal Canadiens. There was talk. I mean, all season long, sort of the third-ranked player was Philip Zadina. And you heard, really, up about maybe a couple weeks ago, you heard that the Habs might be looking at Jesperi Kotkaniemi, easy for me to say, the Finnish centerman. Obviously, the Habs in desperate need of a centerman. Are you surprised that they went with Kotkaniemi? Are you surprised that they bypassed Zadina? A lot of other teams did it, too. Let's start with the draft at 3rd overall. That's really where the intrigue started yesterday.
Yeah, Drew, I'm probably more surprised that the Arizona Coyotes took Barrett Hayton of the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds at 5th overall, and then Philip Zadina, as we talked about, went to Detroit. But when you're talking about Jesperi Kotkaniemi, a couple of weeks ago we had Craig Button on the show, and he was saying that, you know, he wouldn't be surprised if the Montreal Canadiens took Kotkaniemi 3rd overall. So I'm not surprised because of what we've heard over the last 2 to 3 weeks. But leading up to June, and you're, so you're talking about a couple of months before the draft, we thought Philip Zadina was going to be a top five pick. In that sense, not that surprised, and not surprised at all, by the way, that Brady Tkachuk went fourth overall to the Ottawa Senators. Most scouts had Brady Tkachuk as a top five pick. Kotkaniemi played very well for Finland at the international level, at the World Under-18s. And when you look at the Montreal Canadiens, where are they the most desperate? They're the most desperate up the middle, right? You have Jonathan Drouin, now their top center, and there are rumors out there that they might be after Ryan O'Reilly, and that third overall pick was potentially going to be going to the Buffalo Sabres for Ryan O'Reilly. So not surprised, because center is their probably their weakest area. And you hear that teams don't draft for need, they just draft the best player.
Mm-hmm.
I think in this particular case, they did draft for need. Even though the Montreal Canadiens, the management, the amateur scouting staff is going to tell you that Kotkaniemi was the best available player, I think a lot of other scouts would argue that Philip Zadina is a better overall player.
Well, you mentioned Barrett Hayden, and most people did not have Barrett Hayden going as high as he did. He went fifth overall to the Arizona Coyotes.
And he was someone, Drew, that most scouts had going between 7 and 12.
Well, the highest ranked was TSN's Craig Button. He had Barrett Hayden ranked 7th overall. I think we have the audio. Chris Curry producing the show with us today. Do we have Barrett Hayden coming up? Or Craig Button talking about Barrett Hayden? Here we go. We're going to hear what Craig Button had to say about Barrett Hayden taken fifth overall by the Arizona Coyotes, higher than everyone expected.
The reason, like, I think he's got a really strong two-way game like Patrice Bergeron. I think he's exceptionally smart. And I go back to the 2003 draft when I was the manager in Calgary, and I wasn't doing a lot of scouting. But early on in the season, I'd been out in the Quebec League, and I'd watched Bergeron in a game, and it was like, he's really intriguing. You know, there's not a lot of flash and dash to him, but he's always in the right spot on the ice. He always makes the right play. The puck was always on his stick. And he kept, and you know, I go back to my own memories of that. I remember later in the year going to watch a game in Gatineau, and Akady was playing there. And again, I'm watching Patrice Bergeron, and I'm thinking, he's a really good player. You know, Claude Drouin, the late, he was Mr. Everything, Swiss Army knife for the Montreal Canadiens. He coached, he scouted, player development, assistant coach. Told me years ago, Craig, watch the guy that always has the puck. Those are usually the good players. And Barrett Hayton always has the puck, and if he doesn't have the puck, he's in position to get it back. So that was a comparison to Patrice Bergeron. We know Patrice was a second-round pick. We know what he's become. But when I go back to Patrice's draft year, and I just see a lot of similarities at that same time for Barrett Hayton. And I also see the potential to your point in time. I mean, if he becomes anything close to Patrice Bergeron, I mean, that's going to be a top player. So when you ask me about ceiling, I don't know, but he's that type of a player.
That's Craig Button discussing Barrett Hayden, who went fifth overall to the Arizona Coyotes, higher than most people expected, allowing Philip Zadina to drop to sixth overall. Dave, when you're drafting in the top five, and you're talking five, six, you know, anywhere in that vicinity, how do you feel about teams drafting for need as opposed to drafting the best player available? Now, no team will admit that they didn't take the best player available. They'll say that Barrett Hayden was ranked higher on their board than anybody else, that Barrett Hayden was ranked higher than Philip Zadina was. But if every scouting service has Zadina ranked ahead of Barrett Hayden, I think you're going a little bit off the board when you don't take Zadina in that instance.
I suspect that in the top five, where you have players that you're anticipating are going to be in the lineup probably sooner rather than later, then it's probably not as big a deal as if it was a little bit later in the draft. I mean, obviously, if you're drafting players who are not expected to make an impact on your roster for a couple of years down the line, then it really doesn't make sense to draft for need, because your needs may change at that point in time. But, you know, currently, especially with, like I said, these guys who are Zadina, he's the guy who's expected can make a jump to the NHL next season. So he's a player who, you know, you would adjust your plans if you wanted that type of player, I think.
And, Dave, Barrett Hayton's a great player. He was nearly a point a game for the Sioux during the regular season. He was nearly a point a game in the playoffs. But just to let you know how surprised Detroit Red Wings general manager Ken Holland was, he was very certain that they were taking a defenseman. Mm-hmm. And he thought Philip Zadina was either going to go third, fourth, or fifth overall. And they were prepared to take Quinn Hughes, who, by the way, is playing for the University of Michigan, or Adam Boqvist. And Quinn Hughes and Adam Boqvist went right after Philip Zadina at sixth overall. So the Detroit Red Wings were fully expecting to take a defenseman. Now they get Philip Zadina 6th overall, and they get Joe Valeno 30th overall. And I think the Detroit Red Wings probably had the best first round of any other team. I would throw the Islanders in there as well.
Well, the Islanders drafting 12th and 13th overall. I mean, that's obviously an appealing pardon me, 11th and 12th overall, an appealing position to be in.
To get Oliver Wahlstrom, Drew,
yeah,
who some scouts believe is the best pure goal scorer in the draft, and to get Noah Dobson, 12th overall, after he just won a Memorial Cup with Caddy Bathurst. I mean, to get those two players when a lot of people thought Wahlstrom might go in the top 10 and Dobson might go as high as 4th or 5th overall, I think you have to give Lou Lamoriello and his coaching, pardon me, his scouting staff a lot of credit.
Yeah, I think the Islanders had a great Thursday, Friday. They hire, of course, Barry Trotz to be their new head coach. I mean, you're becoming a more professional organization over the last month. The New York Islanders are. Just bring in Lou Lamoriello. You bring in Barry Trotz. You get these two quality draft picks. Some would say lower than they expected you to be able to get them. This was a very good Friday night, a very good 48 hours for the New York Islanders.
And we talked about it earlier. A lot of people thought that the New York Islanders were going to move one of those picks possibly for a goaltender.
Yeah, and they didn't end up doing that. So that's obviously what Lou Lamoriello is his priority, is that and re-signing John Tavares. But they need to shore up the goaltending. Let's talk about the goaltending. That was the only real player that was on the move yesterday. Philip Grubauer and Brooks Orpik go from Washington to the Colorado Avalanche in exchange for a second-round pick. Brooks Orpik is going to be bought out by the Avalanche. He was just a salary dump so that the Capitals can free up space to try and re-sign John Carlson, which I would expect them to be able to do. He's an unrestricted free agent as of July 1st, but it sounds like all signs are pointing to him re-signing with the Capitals now. Grubauer to Colorado, where they have Varlamov already. Your thoughts on sort of them going with what presumably will be a 1A, 1B tandem with Grubauer and Varlamov?
Yeah, I was surprised because we thought the New York Islanders, as we just talked about, and the Carolina Hurricanes were hot after Philip Grubauer. The Chicago Blackhawks, by the way, are another team that are in need of a goaltender, and that's because of Corey Crawford's health uncertainty right now. Right, Drew? So this trade surprised me in the sense that Colorado already has Semyon Varlamov. Now, where does this leave Jonathan Bernier? Jonathan Bernier is a pending UFA. Obviously, now with Philip Grubauer there.
For a job.
Right. Yeah. I wouldn't expect Jonathan Bernier to be brought back, so not the team that we expected him to go to, but, you know, a pretty savvy move by Colorado, and Washington shed some salary there, and they're going to need that to sign John Carlson.
It looks like that's where Washington goalies go to finish off their careers.
Is to Colorado.
To Colorado.
Yeah. Well, it'll be very interesting to see. It looks like the second round is getting started right now. Why don't we head to our first break? We're going to bring in Mike McIntyre of the Winnipeg Free Press. He's live in Dallas. And, of course, we'll bring to you the Jets draft pick as soon as the selection is made. 60th overall here in the second round. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Rounds 2 through 7 coverage. Day 2 coverage of the NHL draft live on TSN Radio 1290.
You're listening to live pick-by-pick coverage of the 2018 NHL Draft. Brought to you by Tim Hortons Coffee, Canada's favorite cup. After Lord Stanley's Cup, of course. On TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca.
Welcome back to Day 2 coverage of the NHL Draft. You are listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Drew Mandel, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you here in studio. Breaking news coming out of the NHL draft. Ilya Kovalchuk has agreed to a 3-year contract with the Los Angeles Kings. So that is the first big piece of news to break on this Saturday morning. Ilya Kovalchuk returning from the KHL. He's heading to the LA Kings, a team that was desperately in need of some offense and desperately in need of some scoring from some wingers. Ilya Kovalchuk heading to the Los Angeles Kings on a 3-year contract.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
Live in Dallas, Texas at the NHL Draft, we're pleased to welcome to the program from the Winnipeg Free Press, Mike McIntyre. Mike, good morning and thanks for joining us.
Hey, good to be here, guys. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure, Mike. Obviously, it's going to be a bit of a different day than it was last night. Probably a little bit surreal sitting back and, you know, trying to find a story to write. And you wrote about Brady Tkachuk being drafted by the Ottawa Senators with no Jets draft pick in the first 31 picks made last night.
Yeah, I can confirm, guys, that no members of the Jets entourage were playing Candy Crush on their phones, even though they certainly would have been able to, because there wasn't a lot to do. Where we're seated is actually right in front of the Jets table, and it was interesting to watch them yesterday. They were all just kind of sitting there, taking it in, looking around, but very much bystanders. Not a lot to do or say, of course, and today will be much different. The Jets are scheduled to make 6 picks. We're just early in the second round here. Detroit just made, I think, what is the 5th pick of the second round. So the Jets are coming up at number 60 overall. We're up to 37 now. So we'll finally start to get some new names and new faces to this organization starting probably in the next 20, 25 minutes.
Mike, before we talk more about the round two and the Jets having the 60th overall pick, going back to last night, round one, what was the biggest surprise? Was it Joe Valeno falling all the way to 30th overall, or was it Filip Zadina going 6th overall to the Red Wings?
Yeah, I think the Zadina pick, and of course that was all prefaced with what Arizona did at 5, but you got to love Zadina, the quotes of maybe not just the draft, but certainly for the quotes that we've seen, the best quotes coming out of really any athlete for some time, with saying that he's going to make the teams that passed on him pay, he's going to fill their nets with pucks. So some very, very interesting comments coming out of him. Just to jump in, guys, there's a little bit of breaking news that you'll probably be interested in. The first Manitoban has just come off the board. The Vancouver Canucks just selected Jet Wu at the 37th overall pick. So you can take him off the board. I know a lot of people were wondering if Jet Wu might still be available at number 60. And, of course, having Jet play for the Jets would have been quite the coup. But he's just been picked up by the Vancouver Canucks, the first Manitoban to go, so congratulations to him.
Yeah, Jet Wu of the Moose Jaw Warriors getting picked 37th overall to the Vancouver Canucks, as Mike McIntyre just reported live in Dallas at the NHL Draft. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, rounds 2 through 7 coverage here on TSN 1290.
So, Mike, the Jets aren't making a selection for another 20. Who do you anticipate? Who do you think they'll like, or who do you like for them in that spot?
Well, it's interesting because we asked Kevin Cheveldayoff last night whether there's a positional sort of need. Kenny Wiebe of the Winnipeg Sun, you know, he pointed out, of course, the Jets moved the rights to Eric Foley. There's maybe you could say, like, do they need to get some forwards in the early rounds here? But Kevin Cheveldayoff said that this really is a best player available sort of situation. That they would certainly look at what they have. And, of course, what we don't know, guys, is what the Jets list looks like compared to what the draft board looks like. And we'll never know that, I suspect. But, you know, you wonder how many players right now the Jets have on their list that haven't gone, that they're kind of thinking might have been gone at this point, that maybe are falling. Cheveldayoff sort of alluded to that last night, that some players may be falling, that they were now going to take the night to sort of reassess, well, why are these players falling? So, you know, I don't know who. I can't give you a name that they're going to pick. I don't think they're going to focus in on any one position. I do think they'll take what they perceive to be the best player available. And maybe we'll see some movement. We saw even yesterday, guys, teams that would package up picks, move up, move down. The Jets have 6. They don't have a 4th round pick. They have 2 in the 5th round. So maybe we'll see a little bit of movement. I'd be surprised, though, if we see any player movement today.
Mike McIntyre of the Winnipeg Free Press is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. He's live in Dallas at the 2018 NHL Draft. You're listening to draft coverage here on TSN 1290. Mike, you mentioned sort of the lack of action. Were you surprised yesterday, given all the names that had been bandied about prior to the draft beginning, that there was really only one trade involving a positional player, and that being Philip Grubauer and Brooks Orpik going to the Colorado Avalanche? I mean, Erik Karlsson, Max Pacioretty, Ryan O'Reilly, Jeff Skinner, all those names were talked about, and then it was an absolute quiet Friday night, aside from, you know, the selections of picks.
Yeah, all talk, no action, eh, guys? Mm-hmm. Even that one trade yesterday wasn't even a player for player swap. It was Grubauer and Orpik for a draft pick. So yeah, I mean, you get all this hype, all this talk, and I think all these expectations that, you know, there's going to be all these crazy things happening, and then really nothing happened. You do wonder, though, how much groundwork has been laid for moves. And if it's not busy today in terms of player moves, you do wonder leading up to July 1, as teams now know what the cap is and where they want to maybe get financially, you got to think that there's going to be a lot of activity over this next week leading up to July 1st, whether it's teams like the Jets who maybe want to clear some cap space for what they're trying to do, get their own guys signed, and maybe take a run at Paul Stasny. If we don't see a lot of activity today, I do think, though, we're going to see a lot in the coming days.
Mike, what was the reaction like there in Dallas when Mike Modano and Jamie Benn went up to the podium and announced that the Stars were drafting center Ty Dellandrea from the Flint Firebirds?
Well, I think the fact that maybe a lot of people here didn't know the name. in fact, there was I can't remember if it was Ben or Modano. I think it was Ben who got a laugh when he said he'll never forget the name because he spent about 10 minutes backstage rehearsing saying it just so he didn't mess up in front of the favorable hometown crowd. But, this crowd, aside from the never-ending booing of Gary Bettman, they were very much into what was happening. And the local pick certainly got a warm applause, and Ben and Modano got a hero's welcome last night on the stage, no doubt about it.
So, Mike, you know, you talked about it when in your previous answer to my question, but the Jets lost Eric Foley. They didn't re-sign Jordy Stallard. Last year, They only drafted three forwards. So do you anticipate that we will see probably more forwards drafted by the team than we did last year?
And Dave, like always, you're there to sort of pick me up. That was the name. I was when I said Eric Foley, I was trying to think of one other one. And Jordy Stallard was the name that I sort of went blank on.
But, Mike, don't compliment Dave. It goes straight to his head, and his ego runs amok, and he's impossible to work with.
Yes. You know, you got to think that they're judging prospects at various points in time, right? When are these guys projected to maybe step into the organization? And so I would think that if the Jets don't take a bunch of forwards today, that they're looking maybe a couple years down the road saying, my goodness, we're going to have a bit of a void there sort of for that next generation. And so it wouldn't surprise me to see a bit of a run on forwards here today because of that. So, I think that's a very solid point. And you can never have too many, right? I don't think anybody worries right now about where guys are going to fit in. You just want to get the best players you can, and you worry about how all the pieces fit together later down the road.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, round 2 through 7 coverage, day 2 coverage of the 2018 NHL Draft. We're joined by Mike McIntyre. He's live in Dallas. Mike, you obviously had an opportunity to sit down with the Tkachuk family last night. I mean, it's pretty impressive bloodlines. I mean, it starts with Keith, then Matthew, now Brady Tkachuk going to the Ottawa Senators. What was it like being around the Tkachuks, and what must have been a wonderful evening for the family?
Yeah, it was. I asked them, you know, were they any less nervous, having already done this once just a couple years ago with Matthew, and they said, no, this was like doing it again for the very first time. But my goodness, most families would never get to experience that once. They've done it twice. Of course, Keith went through the draft himself, so for him, this is like the third time that he's experienced this. But no, big smiles. The Tkachuks had a huge contingent here in Dallas to take this in, and maybe some relief that he's, you know, didn't go to, say, the Oilers. And although how fun would that have been to renew the Battle of Alberta if you would have had the Tkachuks going at it. But the fact that they'll only meet twice a year, and as Mum pointed out, sort of thinking very smartly here, and that you got one now in the Pacific time zone, one in the Eastern time zone. She said it's perfect on those nights, maybe when both boys are playing, she'll probably be able to catch pretty much all of both games, given the time differential. So, no, good for them. And obviously the story, you know, it kind of all starts in Winnipeg, right? That's where they met on a blind date. 21 years later, they've been married now for 21 years. Obviously two very talented kids, now both selected by Canadian teams. It's a great story, and good on the Tkachuks.
Mike, it was announced about 12 minutes ago that the LA Kings have signed Ilya Kovalchuk to a 3-year deal. Now that Kovalchuk has signed that 3-year deal, is it possible that we're going to see some more trades today? Because there was a lot of chatter that teams were waiting to see where Ilya Kovalchuk was going to go and where possibly John Tavares was going to go.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that almost always happens, right? You get that first move and then all the trickle-down sort of domino effect starts taking place. So now that there's some finality to the Kovalchuk situation, obviously Mike Hoffman moved earlier in the week, moved twice, in fact. But so you saw him kind of ping-pong around. So maybe maybe the dam does burst in the very near future here with that situation sort of now at a resolution.
Mike, you had a chance to sit down or chat with the Jets bench boss, Paul Maurice, yesterday. Did you learn anything about what he's been up to since the playoffs have ended for the Winnipeg Jets?
Well, we learned he's a poor loser, and I say that with all due respect. I don't think anybody can question that Paul Maurice is a very intense individual. And if anybody thought that the Jets, were okay with how their season ended, that they would just be happy to have accomplished so much, the fact that Paul Maurice admitted he did not watch one single solitary second of the Stanley Cup final because his anger would have been too high. He likened it to, going to your ex-wife's remarriage and what that would feel like. It still burns, and I think it's going to burn for a while. So that was an interesting sort of revelation, and I think we got a few other little nuggets. I'll say this, Paul Maurice raved about the play of Jack Roslovic late in the series against Vegas and what he brought in that series. And seemed very keen on having him, probably be a part of this roster right out of training camp this fall. He talked about possibly moving Tyler Myers to the left side. So that was sort of interesting. Talked about Paul Stastny, and just like Kevin Cheveldayoff did the day before, talked about the mutual interest that is there in trying to get Stastny back in the fold with the Jets, but admitted that it's going to take some maneuvering and some tough decisions. And that's what I think we'll see happen in these coming days. We'll have a very good idea in the next few days if they can even find a way to get Paul Stastny in based on whether or not they clear some salary out, which they clearly would have to do. So that was a very interesting chat with a relaxed but still very intense Paul Maurice.
Mike McIntyre is live in Dallas at the NHL Draft. Mike, the Jets are about 15 picks away or so we'll let you go. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, and we look forward to reading your coverage in the Winnipeg Free Press.
You bet. All the best, guys. Take care.
Take care, Mike. Thanks again. Let's head to break. When we come back, we'll be that much closer to the Jets getting their first selection of the 2018 NHL Draft. You're listening to Round 2 coverage live on TSN Radio 1290.
You're listening to live pick-by-pick coverage of a 2018 NHL Draft. Brought to you by Tim Hortons Coffee, Canada's favorite cup. After Lord Stanley's Cup, of course. On TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live here on TSN 1290, day 2 coverage of the 2018 NHL Draft. This segment brought to you by Dr. Les Rikus and the team at Linden Market Dental Center, official dentist of Illegal Curve Hockey. Don't be an Ezzy. Always wear a mouth guard and give yourself peace of mind protection, as well as facial, teeth, and mouth protection. To make an appointment to get your teeth to ting, visit LindenMarketDentalCenter.com.
No, Drew. Akil Thomas,
yes,
just went 51st overall
to the Los Angeles
to the
Kings.
LA Kings. So we have 9 more picks, unless the Jets make a trade.
Yes,
the Jets are going to pick at 60th overall. Akil Thomas going 51st overall. He was ranked 10th on NHL Central Scouting's midterm rankings of North American skaters. So could have maybe been a late first round pick. He goes kind of towards the end of the second round. So the LA Kings might have got a sleeper there.
They very well could have. The Winnipeg Jets, as you mentioned, Ezzy, they are about 8 or so picks away. We'll bring it to you, the news to you, as quickly as possible here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's been a good round 2 if you are the son and or nephew of an NHL player. Shel Samuelson's son just went to the Buffalo Sabres. That's Matias Samuelson. Chris Drury's nephew, Jack Drury went 42nd overall.
That's Ted Drury's son.
Ted Drury's son went to the Carolina Hurricanes at number 42 overall. And Cody Clark, the son of Maple Leafs legend Wendell Clark, went 47th overall to the Washington Capitals. So round two if you are the son of a former NHL player. As I mentioned, you're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Round two through seven coverage, day two coverage of the NHL draft here on TSN 1290. Going back to the first round, we never really got an opportunity to sort of put a bow on the first round. I found it to be a little dull. I was surprised at how uneventful that first round was, sort of, especially in terms of, I'm interrupting myself now, which is sort of hard to do. The second Manitoban has gone. Kalen Addison has gone to the Pittsburgh Penguins at number 53 overall. Kalen Addison, of course, playing with the Lethbridge Hurricanes in the Western Hockey League. Had him on the show a couple of weeks ago, defenseman. He goes to the Pittsburgh Penguins at number 53 overall. So two of the three Manitobans who are expected to go early on in this day two, Jet Wu and Kalen Addison. Jet Wu to the Vancouver Canucks, Kalen Addison to the Pittsburgh Penguins. Congratulations to both of those players, to their families as well, who on the accomplishments of those two fine young athletes.
Yeah, huge congrats to Kalen Addison and Jet Wu. Drew, I echo your comments, and you wonder if Kalen Addison was there at 60th overall, the Jets would have probably had a tough decision, maybe wanting to draft the hometown defenseman. And you know, you forget how quick the picks go after the first round,
it's
Dave.
Crazy.
We've been at so many drafts, and, you know, the first round takes, you know, 3.5 to 4 hours. But, you know, sometimes these picks are coming in every 30 seconds to 60 seconds. So, you know, we have another five picks here to go before we get to the Jets at 60th overall. But, you know, there's a lot of good players left on the board. And, you know, we talked about it. I would guess that the Jets are going to go with the forward here because they didn't draft that many forwards last year.
Yeah, so the Jets a few picks away here. We'll bring it to you just as quickly as we can here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Has a goalie gone yet?
Yes, a goalie went earlier than I think most people expected. A goalie went to the New York Rangers. Olof Lindbom from Sweden went at number 39 to the New York Rangers. I mean, they've had some success with Swedish goaltenders before, some guy named King Henrik. Well, we'll see if the Rangers can hit lightning in a bottle with Olof Lindbom, who went 39th overall to the New York Rangers.
Drew, another player to mention, goaltender for the Steinbach Pistons, Matthew Thiessen, was the fourth-ranked North American goaltender. He's expected to either go in the third round or the fourth round, so we'll be keeping an eye on that. But certainly this year did not see any goaltenders drafted in the first round, and Matthew Thiessen is expected, as I mentioned, to go in the third or fourth round, so we'll keep an eye on him.
I should make note that we have a little bit more information on the signing of Ilya Kovalchuk. If you're just joining us, Ilya Kovalchuk, on July 1st, he cannot sign it until then, will agree to a three-year contract with the Los Angeles Kings for $6.25 million per season. He wanted the Patrick Marleau contract, the contract that Marleau got from the Toronto Maple Leafs. A lot of people maybe scoffed at that. Kovalchuk ends up getting that contract from the Los Angeles Kings. We were talking about it off air, as you thought it was a little bit too much money, a little more than you would have liked to pay for Kovalchuk.
Yeah, and what do I know? But you're talking about a player who hasn't been in the NHL for the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, Drew, there are a lot of comparisons to Patrick Marleau. I mean, Patrick Marleau, in my opinion, I would argue he's a future Hall of Famer.
Certainly
so when you're talking,
in the conversation.
When you're talking about Ilya Kovalchuk, I realize he can still put the puck in the net, and he won a gold with Russia at the 2018 Winter Olympics. But this is not the same Ilya Kovalchuk from back in 2012 when the Devils went to the Stanley Cup Final. So that kind of shows you how desperate the Kings are for goal scoring.
You know, it certainly is, and, you know, desperate, at least in this instance, it only costs the Kings money. It doesn't cost them an asset, doesn't cost them a player. That's what the conversation had been about. You know, they'd been in the running for Jeff Skinner, which obviously would have been a more significant trade. In this case, it just cost the LA Kings some money to sign him, and they hope that they can get from him a few good years, and they'd be happy with that contract.
Yeah, and I'm sure he'll play wing on the second line, and he'll probably play on the first power play unit. And that's kind of the market right now. I mean, I don't expect Kovalchuk to score 35 or 40 goals again, but you could probably pencil him in for 20 or 25 goals. So it's a good signing by the Kings, but again, we're not the ones that hand out the big contracts.
pick number 57 on the clock. That is the Boston Bruins. The Jets three picks away. They're picking at 60th overall. That'll be their first selection in this round two of the NHL draft. Of course, the Jets' first round pick had been traded to the St. Louis Blues in the acquisition of Paul Stastny back at the trade deadline. Dave, your thoughts on the Kovalchuk acquisition? The Jets will see him early on in the season, as the Kings, of course, are the opponents for the Jets in their home opener. That'll be the third game of the season for the Jets.
Well, I mean, I guess if you're LA and you're trying to convince Drew Doughty that you still want to win and you want to win now and you want him to sign that big deal, then maybe you go for a move like this where you're taking a bit of a risk because he is an older player, but you're hoping that he still has some magic left in his hands and in his feet. And we'll see how it pans out. But, I mean, I agree with you, Drew, in the sense that they don't have to do the player move that they would with Jeff Skinner. But, again, Jeff Skinner's a younger player, so there's a lot more to gain from adding him to your roster than potentially Kovalchuk. But we'll see.
Do you expect that this selection or that this Kovalchuk signing might be a bit of a domino effect? You mentioned it, I believe, when we were talking to Mike McIntyre earlier on in this hour, that might be the catalyst to maybe free up this logjam, and we'll see some of the other trades that have been rumored about for the last, you know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, maybe start to come to fruition now that Kovalchuk is off the board and other moves might be able to happen now.
Well, Drew, the Jeff Skinner trade rumors have persisted for, what, 3 years?
Yeah, it's been a while.
4 years? So, I mean, we know that Jeff Skinner's name has been mentioned and linked to other teams. And when you're talking about teams like the San Jose Sharks, the Boston Bruins, they were in on Kovalchuk, right, Drew? So I wouldn't be surprised if Jeff Skinner goes to one of those two teams. But you forget how old Jeff Skinner is. It's not like Jeff Skinner is an old man. I mean, Jeff Skinner has been a great scorer for the Carolina Hurricanes. And whoever gets him, I mean, I think he can step right into a top six role. So Jeff Skinner is a player that could be moved. I don't know necessarily, guys, that Erik Karlsson gets moved. I think the Senators might wait till early July. Maybe they wait until after that. But we know that the asking price is going to be sky high for Erik Karlsson. He's a top three defenseman in the league, maybe the best defenseman in the league. So I wouldn't expect Karlsson to be traded today. We'll see what happens. But I think a guy like Ryan O'Reilly, he's in play. I mean, you hear that the Edmonton Oilers might be trading Cam Talbot, even though Peter Chiarelli has denied that. I mean, Milan Lucic, is he in play? I mean, there's a bunch of players that could be moved. We just don't know if it's going to be today.
If the hockey gods are listening, we'd really like it to be today. I can say that without a doubt as we sit here. The Jets, two picks away. The Colorado Avalanche are on the clock at 58th overall. Seems like things may have ground to a bit of a halt here as we're watching the coverage in studio. Wonder if there's a trade being consummated right now. I'm just speculating there, so please don't quote me on that by any stretch of the imagination. Dave, you were going to say something?
Well, it's just funny because you always see the time, the clock, right?
Yeah.
What's the penalty for going over the clock?
You know, I remember, if you remember back, I don't know what the penalty is in the NHL, I'm not sure how it works, but if you remember back, oh gosh, this would be maybe a decade ago now, the Minnesota Vikings, they had their clock run out on them in the NFL draft before they were able to submit their first round pick, and two teams that were right behind them immediately ran to the stage to submit their picks to sort of leapfrog ahead of the Minnesota Vikings. You know, the Vikings claim they ended up getting the guy they wanted all along, so it wasn't a big deal. I don't know if it's ever happened in the NHL before that, you know, the clock runs out and you certainly aren't seeing this flurry of action running to the stage at this point in time. So, well, you know, the Avs are on the clock. The clock appears to have run out, but nothing's happening right now in terms of an announcement.
And when we're at the draft, often what happens is you'll hear them come on the loudspeaker and say, Colorado, you're on the clock. Please make your selection. So they do try and prod them, but I'm just wondering, like,
it's like
really
being in a hockey draft with your buddies, the guy who takes 8 minutes and then says, I'm going to take Rasmus Dahlin.
Maybe there's a trade. They might be announcing one.
Yeah, we'll bring it up here. Trade Colorado. Colorado has traded the 58th pick to the Pittsburgh Penguins for number 64 and number 146. So the Penguins move up to the Colorado Avalanche 58th overall pick in exchange, and they also give up number 146 in terms of this trade. So the Penguins obviously have an eye on a guy that they wanted to leapfrog and get before anybody else could steal him.
Yeah, Drew, the Colorado Avalanche continue to be active. We talked about their acquisition of Philip Grubauer and Brooks Orpik, who obviously they're going to buy out. Another team, guys, to look out for is the Minnesota Wild. They didn't have a second-round pick. They have the first pick of the third round, 63rd overall, so that's three selections after the Jets. But you heard earlier this week that players like Tyler Ennis and Charlie Coyle, they might be on the trading block. So Minnesota's a team to definitely look out for today as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting. Bob McKenzie tweeted a little bit ago that there's only a few players left in the TSN top 50 that haven't been selected. One of those players is actually former Winnipeg Jets forward Andrew McBain. His son, Jack McBain, is in the TSN top 50. He's still available as we get closer and closer to the Jets pick. The Tampa Bay Lightning are on the clock now. They're number 59, the Jets number 60, after the Pittsburgh Penguins acquire Philip Hallander with the trade up that they just consummated with the Colorado Avalanche.
Wouldn't that be poetic to hear McBain with wearing a Jets jersey once again?
It's certainly been a lot of years since that happened, so it'll be interesting. And right now you're at the stage in the draft where beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Sure.
So that, you know, my draft board, the Jets draft board, Jets are up. The Jets are on the clock. Gabriel Fauché has just gone to the Tampa Bay Lightning. He's a left winger. So the Winnipeg Jets are now on the clock here with their first selection in the 2018 NHL draft. It's coming at number 60 overall. Will be very interesting to see what the Jets decide to do with this pick as they decide, you know, who is going to be the latest addition to what has been a very successful amateur scouting team that the Jets have put together. We know the litany of players that the Jets have drafted who are now in the lineup for the Jets. So they can add one more to that selection coming up here with number 60 overall with the Winnipeg Jets. The pick looks like it's in. Just waiting to see the name on the board here. Once we have that for you, we'll bring it to you. The Jets have drafted a centerman from Sweden named David Gustafsson. He is projected as a two-way forward. I'm looking at the future considerations ranking. They had him 43rd overall. So David Gustafsson from Sweden is the Jets pick at number 60 overall. A lot of the different ranking services had him all over the board as high as number 43 overall. That was future considerations. He was all the way down to number 106 on one draft board. So TSN Bob McKenzie had him at 64th overall. Craig Button had him 55th overall. So David Gustafsson, a center from Sweden who played last year in the Swedish Elite League for HV71, is the Winnipeg Jets second round draft pick at number 60 overall.
David Gustafsson, as you mentioned, Drew, he's got some sides. He's a center. A scouting report here says an all substance, no flash type of prospect. Gustafsson seems to be the kind of player that will always find a way to help his team. So he looks like he's more of a two-way center. And obviously we're going to have more information for you as the day goes on here about the Jets' 60th overall pick.
Yeah, he played in a bottom six role for HV71, so he wasn't able to rack up numbers, as you'd expect. I mean, he is an 18-year-old playing against men, certainly, so he didn't rack up much in terms of offensive numbers, but when he was playing with players his own age, when he was playing with, similar age players, he was able to show very well. So David Gustafsson, we'll get confirmation if it's Gustafsson or Gustafsson, of course, as soon as we can get that to you, is the Winnipeg Jets selection. Number 60 overall for the Winnipeg Jets. The Jets next on the clock during the third round.
Drew, another scouting report, defensively reliable two-way center with untapped offensive upside.
Chris, we're going to try and bring in David Gustafsson. We're hoping to bring him to you in the next hour as soon as we hear from the Jets if he's available to go to join us on the air. Why don't we go to break right now? We're sort of right up against the clock. When we come back, more coverage of day two of the 2018 NHL draft. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
You're listening to live pick-by-pick coverage of the 2018 NHL Draft. Brought to you by Tim Hortons Coffee, Canada's favorite cup. After Lord Stanley's Cup, of course. On TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca.
Hour two of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show featuring day two coverage of the NHL Draft. Welcome back to the program. Drew Mindell, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you in studio here. Winnipeg Jets picking 60th overall in the second round have drafted centerman David Gustafsson of the Swedish Hockey League. He is obviously a quality two-way centerman is what the scouting reports say on him, responsible in both ends of his ice. We hope to bring you, David, at some point during the next hour or so of the broadcast as more picks get made, and we'll bring them to you here on TSN 1290. Go ahead, Ezzy. You want to say something?
Yeah, Drew, this is an interesting point on David Gustafsson. He was actually a last cut of the Swedish junior team, but he was a member of the Swedish team that won bronze at the 2017 Ivan Hlinka tournament, and he also represented Sweden at the 2018 World Under-18s, and this is an interesting stat.
Mm-hmm.
David Gustafsson took more face-offs than any other player in that tournament, and he won 70% of them. So that's another area in which he excels in the face-off circle.
Well, certainly that's winning a face-off is certainly a positive, giving your team possession right off the draw. Of course, a long time before we see him presumably with the Winnipeg Jets, but he's now a member of the Jets organization, having been drafted at 60th overall. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you here in studio. As I mentioned, this segment of the show brought to you by Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty, official realtors of Illegal Curve Hockey. When 95% of your clients come via referral, it shows your commitment to honesty, integrity, and a total dedication to client satisfaction. For all your real estate needs, come shake hands with Frank and Mauro Zappia online at zappiagroup.com.
I imagine, Drew, that Frank Zappia is loving having a player that's going to win some face-offs in the future for the Jets. But we were speculating that the Jets' second-round pick was going to be a forward. They go with a center, and that's probably an area in which, you know, the cupboards need to be restocked a little bit.
Absolutely. He's got pretty good size, I believe, 6'1". 6'1", 6'2", just under 200 pounds. Presumably he'll continue to fill out. So certainly a bigger centerman, good size for the Jets' second-round pick, David Gustafsson, out of HV71 in Sweden. Round two of the NHL draft is complete. Round three has started. Previously, we mentioned Andrew McBain's son, Jack McBain, having been available. He's gone to the Minnesota Wild with the first pick of the third round, so number 63 overall, another good player with NHL bloodlines. Jack McBain, son of Jets 1.0, Andrew McBain, has gone to the Minnesota Wild. The Jets drafting 91st in the third round, so that'll be their next selection. That'll be at the 29th pick of the third round, which will be 91st overall, unless the team moves up between now and then.
Yeah, and we talked about it a few segments ago. You know, the Jets have the 91st pick. We're already at 67 here.
Yeah.
I believe it's the Red Wings who have the 67th pick. So it's probably going to be, not that long before the Jets make their third round pick, probably, 10 to 15 minutes from now. But, you know, David Gustafsson, going back to him, you know, we've talked a lot about some of the top prospects in the system and guys that could maybe play for the Jets next year. Christian Vesalainen, I think, is a player that fans are really excited about. I think you'd expect him to maybe start the season with the Manitoba Moose along with Logan Stanley. David Gustafsson is obviously a guy that you don't expect to step right into the NHL. He's probably at least a couple of years away, Drew.
Certainly, exactly right. No expectations that he might not even come over next year. Would not be a surprise if he stayed over in Sweden, just like Christian Vesalainen did this year, staying over in Finland before coming over. He'll come over this summer to presumably play for the Manitoba Moose. Let's talk about the New York Islanders and what they did in the last 48 hours or so. Obviously, they get Barry Trotz after he resigns as head coach in Washington. The Capitals and the Barry Trotz couldn't come to an agreement on a contract. I mean, Barry Trotz was entitled to a 2-year extension for winning the Stanley Cup, but that only came with a raise of $300,000 per year. Instead, he leaves Washington. He gets $4 million a season on Long Island. The Islanders have a very good day one of the NHL draft. If you're John Tavares, and, you know, in the last month, I think we've had the whiplash effect where we've gone both ways, both where it seemed like he was leaving Long Island to now it seems like a lot of people think he's going to stay in Long Island. If you're John Tavares, do these moves change your opinion and change your plan going forward?
I'd have to think they do, right? And it started with Lou Lamoriello coming over as the president of hockey operations, and then he relieves Garth Snow and Doug Waite of his duties. Mm-hmm. And then you mentioned the Washington Capitals decide not to re-sign Barry Trotz as their head coach, and now they have Oliver Wahlstrom and they have Noah Dobson as two first-round picks, and now they have Bodie Wild described as kind of a Dustin Byfuglien type. They took him early in the second round. So if you look at what has happened just in the last week, forget about, you know, the last 3 or 4 weeks, that can only help the Islanders' case in trying to get John Tavares to stay on Long Island. And we don't have the answer. Nobody knows right now. I mean, there is a chance that John Tavares decides to test the UFA market, and that's because there are going to be so many teams that are after John Tavares. So I think what the Islanders have done can only help their case, and I really like what they've done so far in the draft, and obviously I really like them bringing in Barry Trotz, one of the best coaches of all time, in my opinion.
Dave, your thoughts on what the Islanders have done? I mean, is this a does this change the dynamic of the franchise? It sort of seemed like they've been floundering for a long while. If you're John Tavares, does this change your opinion? Or do you still go till Sunday? I mean, starting Sunday, you can take interviews. You can take meetings with other NHL teams. Do you take those meetings and then maybe you circle back to the New York Islanders? Does it cost you anything to hear what the other teams have to offer?
No, absolutely not. I think that, you know, there could be an argument made that there's a loyalty aspect, and you know, I don't know him personally, but I've heard that he's a loyal guy, and he's seen that's an attribute that you often hear associated with him. So there's a, you know, an argument to be made that he would not necessarily need to hear that, but I think if he's doing his due diligence and wanting to know what his true value is, he'll hear what some other teams have to offer. Now those teams may be trying to submarine the Islanders a bit, try and get his price up, but at the same time, that's what he's entitled to as a UFA.
What about the goaltending issue in Long Island? Obviously, that's something that they still need to resolve. Goaltenders are, I mean, you know, the number one goaltender, I guess, would be Philip Grubauer, who was available in trade. He went to the Colorado Avalanche. How is the goaltending situation, you think, going to play out over this free agency period and over the trade period the next couple weeks, which should be a couple busy weeks in the world of the NHL?
Well, Drew, we know that Yaroslav Halak is not coming back. So we know that the Islanders need to either trade for a number one goaltender or they need to sign a number one goaltender. Carter Hutton is an unrestricted free agent. He's not going back to the St. Louis Blues. So Carter Hutton makes a lot of sense to me on Long Island. You wonder if they maybe bring in a guy like Cam Ward. Now, I think Cam Ward right now is better suited in a backup role, but the Carolina Hurricanes have said that they won't be re-signing Cam Ward. So Carter Hutton and Cam Ward are two players. And then you wonder if they do swing a trade and try to acquire a team's backup goaltender right now.
Let me ask you guys this. We're hoping to get David Gustafson on with us in the next few minutes as they are finishing up the scrum in Dallas. Were you surprised by the inactivity last night, primarily with the NHL draft, with the lack of trades? I mean, we talked about Ilya Kovalchuk. He goes this morning to the Los Angeles Kings. He's going to sign with them July 1st. You know, do you think that some of these general managers are maybe paralyzed with fear to make a move? You have so many teams with so many glaring issues. You have so many teams that are talking about the need to make moves, yet nothing has happened. Why is that?
Well, I would think that at the same time, you know, it's not easy to just say, okay, well, we need a number one goaltender. Let's go out and get one. They don't grow on trees. It's the reason why they're such a prized commodity. So, I mean, if you're the New York Islanders and you know that you have to pry one out, you're obviously not going to pry a number one goalie out from a team, but the reality is it's a double-edged sword. You're going to go and get one, but what are you going to give up for it? Are you going to give up some picks that you're needing to make that impact at the next level? Do you try and grow it from home like the Jets did with Connor Hellebuck? You know, I mean, and that's difficult, you know, using the Islanders as our example, when you have a player like John Tavares, because you're saying you're going to re-sign with us with the idea of winning. Now, they may be trying to sell him on the idea of not necessarily winning tomorrow, but maybe 2 or 3 years down the road. But at the same time, it's not like there's an excess of this commodity that you can just go out and buy at the store.
Well, you know, take the Carolina Hurricanes, Ezzy. I mean, if they've talked about wanting to reshape their franchise since the day that Tom Dundon took over as the new ownership. They changed out the front office. They have a new head coach. You've heard the names Jeff Skinner. You've heard the names Noah Hanifin. You've heard the names Elias Lindholm. You've heard basically any of their core players that's rumored to be available via trade, and they were definitely going to be busy, and they were definitely going to be active, and they were going to press reset on the entire franchise, and then we sit here on this Saturday morning and nothing has happened with them. I mean, it seems like there's just more smoke than there is fire for a lot of teams right now.
The Carolina Hurricanes are going to make some moves, there's no doubt. Going back to the New York Islanders, there's no doubt that Philip Grubauer was a goaltender they wanted. I mean, there's absolutely no doubt that that's who they wanted, and that's why it was surprising that the Colorado Avalanche acquired Philip Grubauer. Now, as Dave mentioned, there aren't going to be number one goaltenders that are traded to the New York Islanders. So right now, going back to the Carolina Hurricanes, they're definitely a team to watch, and that's because they've missed the playoffs for, what, the last 10 years? So even though there might not be a trade today, I would expect there to be some moves coming from the Hurricanes.
Yeah, I would expect there to be too. It's sort of bizarre that nothing's happened yet, because most of the trades usually happen on day one as opposed to day two of the NHL draft. But so far, not a lot happening. Not a lot happened last night, not a lot happening yet today. David Gustafson was drafted by the Winnipeg Jets at number 60 overall, and I believe we have him on the line now. David, good morning. You're on with Drew Mindell, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg. We are the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN Radio in Winnipeg. Congratulations on being selected by the Winnipeg Jets.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You know, take us through the moment. What was it like? I mean, you're in Dallas. You're presumably there with your family. What was it like to hear your name called as the newest member of the Winnipeg Jets, taken 60th overall in the second round of the NHL draft?
Oh, it's so special moment. I mean, I was just sitting there watching a lot of my friends getting drafted, and all of a sudden I heard my own name, and I just stood up and hugged my family and went down to get this nice sweater. And I mean, it's unbelievable.
David, you've been described by scouts as a two-way center. How would you describe your own game?
Yeah, I would say I'm a two-way center, man. I'm good both defense and offense, and I mean, good face-offer, and I like to compete every single shift, every game.
David, which NHL player do you model your game after?
I think I was modeling my game after Jonathan Toews. He's a two-way center, man, natural leader, and works hard every single game, too.
Well, that certainly would be music to the ears of Winnipeg Jets fans, you modeling your game after Jonathan Toews, of course, another Winnipegger. We're speaking with Winnipeg Jets draft pick David Gustafson, drafted 60th overall by the Jets in the second round at the 2018 NHL draft. You know, David, you played last year for HV71 in Sweden. How was your season with the team, and what do you hope for this coming season?
I mean, I think I have a great season with HV71. I got to play the whole season with the men's team, and that's a big thing for me. It's a dream come true playing the SHL. And probably next year, I hope to gain a lot more ice time and move up in the lines and just get a bigger role in the team.
David, what was it like to win a bronze medal for Sweden at the 2017 Ivan Hlinka tournament and also represent your country at the World Under-18 Championship?
I mean, it was a great feeling. It's a great feeling always when you represent your country. But we're Sweden, and we got to go higher than a bronze medal. We're aiming for the gold, always.
David, what did you know about Winnipeg, and are you familiar with any of the players that are in the organization?
Yeah, man, I know it's a real hockey town. I mean, I watched them during the playoffs, and their fans are just crazy, and it just looks like an amazing town.
David Gustafson is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. David, drafted by the Winnipeg Jets with their second round selection at the 2018 NHL draft. David, I mean, nobody gets to this point in their career without having a lot of support from family, from previous coaches, from friends. You know, who do you credit for being able to have gotten to this point to be drafted by the Jets in the second round?
Yeah, of course, my family. My family is the one that's helped me along the way, you know, driving to all the away games and driving to all the late practice, early practice, and I have a lot to thank them. And especially my dad, who has been like a little personal coach for me and helped me along the way, because he was hockey player too. And he's probably the reason why I play hockey.
David, I know that you know that the Jets have some snipers like Patrick Laine and Nikolai Ehlers. Are you already starting to think about what it would be like to pass the puck to those guys?
Yeah, of course. I mean, there's some great players in Winnipeg, and I know I admire them. I admire the game to play, and it's just so exciting, you know, be in the same locker room and arenas as they are.
You know, David, are you familiar with any of the players the Jets have drafted already from Sweden, like Arvid Holm or Jacob Cederholm?
Yeah, I mean, Jacob Cederholm and me are playing the same team during the season, during the back season too. So, I mean, I know him very well.
David Gustafson, our guest here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. David, when you played in the Under-18 World Championship, you won an astonishing almost 71% of your faceoffs. Is that a point of pride in your game, your ability to win the faceoff and your ability, you know, to gain possession for your team off the draw?
Yeah, I take a lot of pride of faceoffs. I mean, I work really hard on it to get better on faceoff because it's an important thing in the game. You know, you want to start with puck, and I can help the team if I win the faceoff.
David Gustafson is the Winnipeg Jets' second-round selection at the 2018 NHL Draft. David, congratulations on being selected by the team. Thanks very much for joining us. We'll let you get back with your family to celebrate, and we'll see you in Winnipeg, I'm sure, before we know it.
Thank you very much.
Take care, David.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. David Gustafson, the Winnipeg Jets draft pick, taken 60th overall in the second round of the 2018 NHL draft. The Jets are actually not too far away from picking again, about 15 selections away from their pick in the third round. So this would be a good opportunity to go to break. When we come back, much more on the 2018 NHL draft, and we're not far away from the Jets' third round selection. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
You're listening to live pick-by-pick coverage of the 2018 NHL Draft, brought to you by Tim Hortons Coffee, Canada's favorite cup, after Lord Stanley's Cup, of course, on TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca.
Saturday morning, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Day 2 coverage of the 2018 NHL Draft on TSN 1290. Drew Mindell, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you in studio. The Winnipeg Jets about 9 picks away from making their second selection of the 2018 Draft. It'll come at number 91 overall. Barring a trade, of course, the Jets do not have a fourth-round pick, but they do have 2 fifth-round picks. So lots more to come from the Winnipeg Jets. If you're just joining us, the Jets drafted centerman David Gustafson at number 60 overall. That was in the second round. He's a centerman, as I mentioned, from HV71 in Sweden. We just heard from David. Models his game after Chicago Blackhawks captain and, of course, Pride of St. Vitale, Jonathan Toews.
Yeah, great to talk to David Gustafson. Sounds like a really nice young man. And he mentioned he's going to play in the Swedish League next year. And we didn't expect him to step right into the NHL, Drew.
Of course.
There are only a handful of players that can do that. Really, the guys at the top end of the first round and maybe, you know, towards the middle and late first round. But most of the guys that are drafted this year aren't going to step right into the league. And you know, you mentioned that he models his game after Jonathan Toews, and we talked about it. I mean, now when you look at some of the centers that the Jets have in the system, we know Mark Scheifele has already turned into an elite center. Mm-hmm. But when you talk about Jack Roslovic and now David Gustafson, who, you know, ideally I think would maybe be your third-line center, maybe he projects even a little bit higher. But if you can have Mark Scheifele, Jack Roslovic, and David Gustafson, obviously Paul Stastny wasn't mentioned in there,
yeah.
But we're not sure if the Jets are going to re-sign Stastny, but obviously, great to have another top-end center in your prospect pool.
Yeah, the comment about David Gustafson is the two-way game is already there. He has untapped offensive potential. He played a bottom-six role with the men's team of HV71, so he wasn't able to show off his offensive game very much. But when he played with players of his own age, some of that offensive flash was able to demonstrate itself in those contests.
Right, and some Jets fans are going to look at his stats and they're going to say, well, he only had 6 goals and 12 points. But as you mentioned, Drew, he's playing against players that are 25, 26,
playing
30 years
men.
Old, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I expect those offensive totals. I think you guys would also expect those offensive totals to be up next year with another year under his belt. But again, I mean, this is a player who's more of a long-term project for the Jets.
Absolutely. I should mention that this segment of the show is brought to you by Keener Jerseys, specializing in customization services and branded team apparel. Keener Jerseys is changing the game with world-class craftsmanship and unparalleled service. If you want awesome jerseys for your rec team or have a jersey you want personalized, visit KeenerJerseys.com or check out their showroom at 982 Portage Avenue. That's the corner of Portage and Sherburn. Tell them that Illegal Curve sent you. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, according to Ken Weeb, he apparently has 2 years left on his deal with HV71, so, and then expects to play in North America after that.
There you go.
So whether that's with the Moose or with the Jets, we'll see what 2 years from now brings.
Time will tell. You know, the quote-unquote stashing a pick overseas. So don't expect him to make an immediate impact with the Winnipeg Jets, but another guy to keep an eye on throughout the Jets pipeline of prospects.
And it probably helps for him that Jacob Cederholm's been in Winnipeg a few times, a teammate of his now, as he talked about with HV71. Jacob is a player we saw join the Manitoba Moose at the end of his season in Sweden and came over and really didn't play much, but he kind of, you know, got familiar with some of the players, which is a good thing. He's a player who's still developing as a defenseman, of course, so they take a little longer, but it's like I said, it's
familiarity is a good thing.
It's an advantage because it'll bring him when David Gustafson comes to Winnipeg, and Cederholm most likely will be here for, I'm assuming, maybe for the prospect camp. It's a little bit more familiar. It makes it easier to kind of blend in.
Absolutely. Eases the transition. Still to join us this hour on the program, we're going to be joined by former assistant general manager in the NHL, Frank Provenzano. He's down in Dallas as well. So we'll talk to Frank coming up this hour. Also, of course, fingers crossed, it's a bit of a fluid situation, but we hope to have the Jets' third round pick, which is about eight or so selections away from us, have him join us sometime on this afternoon on the program as well. Mr. Ginsberg, you have something?
Another note on David Gustafson. We talked about the World Under 18 Hockey Championship. That's typically a championship in which it's harder to score goals. He had 7 points in 7 games. Another thing to mention is that during his season with HV71 of the Swedish League, he actually had better 5-on-5 offensive totals than Isaac Lundestrom, who went to the Anaheim Ducks in the first round, and David Gustafson was playing a fourth line role. So that's obviously a good sign for Winnipeg Jets fans that his 5-on-5 numbers were very good and he wasn't playing a top six role.
I want to make mention of draftees from Manitoba. We know that in the second round, Kalen Addison and Jet Wu went respectively to, I believe it was the Vancouver Canucks and the Pittsburgh Penguins. Riley Stotts of Winnipeg has just been taken at number 83 overall. He goes to the Toronto Maple Leafs. So congratulations to Riley Stotts, of course, of Winnipeg. He played for the Calgary Hitmen of the Western Hockey League last season. He goes to the Toronto Maple Leafs in the third round. The Jets are about six or seven selections away here in the third round of the 2018 NHL draft. But congratulations to Riley Stotts, to Jet Wu, to Kalen Addison, and all their family and friends on their selections in this 2018 NHL draft.
Matthew Thiessen of the Steinbach Pistons is still on the board, goaltender. Obviously, congratulations to Riley Stotts. He joins Adam Brooks of Winnipeg, Manitoba, who just won a Calder Cup championship with the Toronto Marlies.
Yeah, Matthew Thiessen expected to be probably more in the fourth, fifth round range, somewhere around there, if you believe some of the different scouting profiles that exist right now. It's sort of amazing that we're about 90 minutes into the show, and we haven't even mentioned what went on this week with regard to Mike Hoffman. We know that the scandal or the drama that had unfolded in Ottawa was going to result in a trade. Mike Hoffman was traded. It was twice this week. First traded from the Ottawa Senators to the San Jose Sharks in exchange for Mikhail Bodker and some draft picks. And then the Sharks immediately flipped Mike Hoffman back into the Northeast Division, or the Atlantic Division, pardon me, to the Florida Panthers in exchange for a few more draft picks. Your thoughts on the machinations surrounding Mike Hoffman and the acquisitions that took place this week, Mr. Ginsberg?
Well, obviously the Ottawa Senators didn't want Mike Hoffman in their own division. I mean, they obviously...
best laid plans right there didn't quite work out for them.
They weren't hoping that was going to happen, but once they traded him to the San Jose Sharks, the Sharks can do whatever they want with him, so... You know, wasn't surprised at all, I don't think any of us were, that Mike Hoffman was traded because of, as you mentioned, all of the controversy surrounding him with Erik Karlsson. So now Mike Hoffman obviously gets a fresh start with the Florida Panthers. And, you know, we still don't know the truth about this story. I mean, they still are accusations. So it might turn out that these accusations against Mike Hoffman's fiance are untrue. We don't know. But for him, Mike Hoffman, I'm talking about, I think it's nice that he gets a fresh start, and whatever happens with, you know, the situation between Erik Karlsson's wife and Mike Hoffman's fiance, that'll you know, sort itself out. As far as the Ottawa Senators go, I mean, Mikhail Bodker is a great two-way center, and he was actually really good for the Sharks in the playoffs, even though they got bounced by the Vegas Golden Knights in the second round. But I think considering that the Ottawa Senators, their backs were against the wall, I think getting Mikhail Bodker was a pretty good return for Mike Hoffman.
If you're the Senators, though, Dave, don't you right now want draft picks more than a player like Mikhail Bodker, who most people would say that he's fairly underwhelming? I mean, if you're the Senators, how does Bodker, does he change your fortunes for next season or 2 years after that, really, in any dramatic way?
I would imagine if you're the Senators, you want to try and get back to some level of prominence and perhaps, you know, not give up the, because remember now they have to give the Colorado Avalanche their first round pick next season.
Yeah.
And they don't want that to be the first overall pick. Well. So, I mean, I'm not suggesting that they're going to do things just to prevent that from happening, but, you know, there's probably that, a little bit of that in the back of their mind. You know, they like the player that they drafted, but at the same time, they're thinking to themselves, we don't want to be sending Colorado the first pick. We'd be much happier to send them a pick that was the, you know, 14th, 15th, 16th pick overall. So that could be playing a factor.
So that they're just desperate to avoid. I mean, they know they now have to give up that first round selection next year. They had the option of giving up the fourth overall pick this year. They chose to delay that for one season. Are you surprised they did that? I mean, you know, you got the bird in the hand in knowing you're going to give up the fourth overall pick versus the unknown, which could be the first overall pick next year. Are you surprised by the decision to hold on to that pick this year and hope for better results next year?
No, I'm not surprised. And Brady Tkachuk's a really good player. A lot of scouts think that Brady Tkachuk is going to be better than Matthew Tkachuk. So not that surprised because, Drew, we don't know what's going to happen in the draft lottery. I mean, it's not guaranteed that you're going to get one of the top two picks. You can fall into who knows where you go, right? So not that surprised that the Ottawa Senators kept that fourth overall pick because obviously they liked Brady Tkachuk and they wanted to draft him. And there was no indication that the Ottawa Senators were going to give this year's pick to Colorado.
Right. I mean, at no point in time, I mean, Pierre Dorion was quite honest in saying that, no, he was going to hold on to that pick pretty much as long as he can. The Jets are about three picks away from being on the clock, four picks away. The San Jose Sharks just took a centerman named Linus Karlsson, and there was a trade going on. There's been a couple trades. They've all just been swapping of draft picks, so you can understand why we haven't highlighted them very much. There's been no picks, no players have been moving so far. It's a bizarre sort of situation when you expected it to be a little bit more chaotic, but hasn't seen that come to fruition so far. If you're the Senators, though, boy, are you, I mean, you're a team in turmoil, and to have Pierre Dorion come out and basically admit that the locker room last year was just poison, and he said that, you know, their locker room was broken. These aren't the usual terminology you hear from an NHL general manager, but, I mean, you can read between the lines, he pretty much threw Mike Hoffman under the bus and then rode the bus over him a few different times in getting him out of town. I think just they're hoping that an addition by subtraction sort of thing works out best for them. And I assume if they haven't moved him yet, at this point in time, you're holding on to Erik Karlsson at least until the season starts, at least maybe until the trade deadline, in the hopes of getting him under contract?
Yeah, your guess is as good as mine as far as when Erik Karlsson is going to be moved. You know, another player that was a little bit surprising to hear in the trade chatter is Craig Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe not as surprising because he's no longer the number one goaltender there, but, you know, that might be another option for the New York Islanders, even though, you know, I would say Craig Anderson's better days are behind him. He's in his mid-30s now, but he's another guy that might be moved. But absolutely, Drew, I mean, Erik Karlsson, that situation has to be resolved because if you're trading Erik Karlsson, you have no chance at making the playoffs next year, in my opinion. I mean, you're setting the reset button, you're rebuilding if they're not already rebuilding, because if you look at that roster, it's kind of getting a little bit older, and sure, you have some good young players. Thomas Chabot is a really good young defenseman, but if you're trading Erik Karlsson, whatever team is acquiring him, they're going to have to give up a lot. It's probably going to be a combination of a roster player, a young player, and probably a draft pick for the 2019 draft, but I mean, it's really tough to say right now when Karlsson is going to be moved, but now with this whole situation over the last couple of weeks with Karlsson and Hoffman, I would say that the chances of Ottawa keeping Erik Karlsson are slim to none.
You think they trade him before the season starts at this point in time? Aren't you almost guaranteeing yourself as the worst team in the NHL if you trade him and thus almost giving a guaranteeing that you're giving a top three, top four selection to the Colorado Avalanche?
I think the situation in Ottawa is so toxic with Erik Karlsson and the rest of the management group that you have to trade him. And sure, they're going to offer him an eight-year contract. But who knows if he actually wants it?
Well, that's just it. I don't think he wants it in Ottawa. They'll pay him whatever he wants. It just doesn't seem like he wants it, Dave.
No, I mean, we don't obviously know what's going on in the room. We don't know what's going on in Erik Karlsson's mind. So it's just speculation at this point. But you have to think to yourself that, as he just touched on, and I think he's right, is that the situation's is really bad, or at least it was really bad. Now, will removing Hoffman and kind of giving Erik Karlsson the room again, if you will, enough of a Band-Aid on that, or is it too far past that to try and save the situation? I don't know the answer, but to your point, Drew, again, even if you as he just said, they make a trade, they give up, get these players back, you're basically trading potentially a first overall pick for another team's, and who a team, if they're getting Karlsson, is one that's going to be competing for something.
The Winnipeg Jets are on the clock right now with their third round selection. They've just come back from commercial on the TV coverage, so that certainly is fortuitous timing. The Jets are on the clock looking to make their second pick their first pick of the third round, the second pick of the 2018 draft for the team. They are currently right on the clock right now. We'll bring you that selection very shortly here on, as we're expecting the Jets to be announced who they're going to take in that selection momentarily. Frank Provenzano is live in Dallas as well. He's a former assistant general manager in the NHL. He's going to join us also in the next few minutes. So a lot going on here on the program as the Jets are on the clock right now for their third round selection in this 2018 NHL draft, waiting for the name to be announced.
They might be, maybe there's a trade coming up because they're taking a long time to make this pick.
They are certainly taking their time. I mean, perhaps a trade. We're not certain at this point in time as we're waiting to see what's going to happen with the Jets as they draft here in the third round. If you're just joining us now, the Jets drafted 60th overall in the second round. They took David Gustafsson, a centerman from HV71 in Sweden, regarded as a defensively responsible two-way centerman with untapped offensive abilities. Certainly skilled in the face-off circle. He won almost 71% of his face-offs at the under-18 World Championship.
By the way, Joey Keane, who was just drafted by the New York Rangers, is no relation to Mike Keane, in case you were wondering that.
There you go. It's been I was wondering that because there's been a lot of players with NHL bloodlines who've been drafted so far today. We mentioned Andrew McBain's son was drafted. Jack McBain, Shel Samuelson's son was drafted. Chris Drury's nephew was drafted, and Wendell Clark's son was drafted. So a lot of picks.
John Madden's son was also drafted.
John Madden's son, Nathan Smith, is the name of the Winnipeg Jets draft pick at number 91 overall. He is a centerman out of the United States Hockey League. He played for Grand Rapids of the USHL, 6 foot, 175 pounds. He put up some impressive numbers, 47 points in 51 games for the Grand Rapids Rough Riders of the United States Hockey League. Something ironic about a player in Winnipeg, or player coming to Winnipeg, having played for a team named the Rough Riders. Let's go to break. When we come back, more on Nathan Smith, more, and we'll also speak with former assistant general manager, Frank Provenzano. You're listening to coverage of the NHL draft. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
You're listening to live pick-by-pick coverage of the 2018 NHL Draft, brought to you by Tim Hortons Coffee, Canada's favorite cup, after Lord Stanley's Cup, of course, on TSN 1290 and tsn1290.ca.
Welcome back to 2018 coverage of the NHL Draft. This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Drew Mindell, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you in studio. If you're just joining us, the Winnipeg Jets have made their third round selection, number 91 overall. It's Nathan Smith, a centerman out of the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders in the USHL, certainly been a pipeline from the USHL to the Jets organization. He's originally from Florida. He's committed to go to Minnesota State Mankato next season. Hopefully we'll hear from Nathan Smith in the next hour or so.
No, he's not at the draft.
He's not at the draft. Well, maybe the Jets can hook him up and get him on the phone for us as well. Fingers crossed we can get Nathan Smith on the line with you at some point over the next couple of hours. Again, Nathan Smith drafted 91st overall by the Winnipeg Jets in the third round of the 2018 NHL draft.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
Pleased to welcome to the program Frank Provenzano. Frank was a front office executive in the NHL for many years, a former NHL assistant general manager as well. He joins us from Dallas. Frank, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Oh, no problem. I was finally able to get on the show with you guys because I'm not running around in the mud.
I was going to say, most assistant general managers or most of the front office executives are a little busy right now, so we're pleased to welcome you to the program. You know, Frank, sort of set us up with a scene. What's going on around most of the draft tables right now as we're in the midst of round four of the 2018 NHL draft? This is really the time where the amateur scouts and the amateur scouting staff have to shine right now.
Yeah, and especially the area guys. I mean, you know, you've prepared your list, obviously, going into the round one, which is the premier round, round two, round three. And then as you get into round four, typically you start leaning on some of the area guys as you get into your list who have just seen players at that point in the list more than the general staff to stand up. And, you know, if you've got a group of two or three players, you've ranked them, you know, but as the players come off the board, you may sort of see one or two players or even three players that are kind of comparable in terms of the attributes that you like and the weaknesses that your barriers that you see for them playing in the NHL, because at this point they all have potential barriers and you really need your amateur guys to step up. And the NHL draft is a unique draft in the sense that it's the only draft of the big four North American drafts anyway, where the entire war room and league and NHL community descends into one place. I mean, if you look at the other drafts, you know, the TV part is in one area, but the different operations groups are in their respective cities. And so what's cool about the NHL draft, in my opinion, is it's the draft which is the culmination of the evaluation season for the amateur players, but it's also the starting line for 2018-19 in terms of building your NHL roster and that player asset management piece. And so you've got a lot of sort of orbit, you know, if the draft is the Earth, you've got a lot of space junk orbiting around the draft right now in terms of activity, you know, agents, GMs, players, et cetera, that a lot of discussions going on in terms of filling out NHL rosters for next year as well.
Frank, what's it been like for you as the former assistant general manager of the Dallas Stars and a current resident of Dallas to see the NHL draft in Dallas right now and to see Jamie Benn and Mike Modano go up last night and draft Ty Dellandrea on behalf of the team at 13th overall?
I mean, it's been pretty cool for me, you know, sort of being involved since leaving the Stars, being involved in the NHL in a kind of a media sense, but not being involved at the team sense. It's been cool for me to just see a bunch of old faces and friends. I had the opportunity to go out on Thursday night with the Washington Capitals staff because I worked there for 7 years, and that group has been together for a long time. And after they had their dinner, they surprised a lot of their amateur scouts with the cup back in the suite, and I got to go back there and see the Stanley Cup and see some old friends. So that's been really cool. And then obviously today I'll be able to go and see a bunch of people that you just don't get a chance to see, A, because they're busy during the regular season, B, you know, living in Dallas, it's a bit of an NHL outpost in that way. So it's been really cool. The temperature has not been cool. It's been like 100 degrees. So I was walking with someone, you know, the other day between venues, and they're like, I was just dying. And they're like, well, you live here. I'm like, still. Yeah, I live here, but that's why we don't go outside. It's like in Winnipeg, you don't go outside in the winter. So, but it's been really neat.
You know, Frank, a bit of a procedural question that maybe you would have some insight into. What happens if a team goes past the time they're allotted?
You know, that's a really good question because it just never has happened. I believe if you don't make a submission, I don't know if you actually lose the pick or not. That's a great question. It's a great question because I've just never seen it happen.
The reason we ask is, you know, we're sitting here in studio watching the coverage and, you know, the clock hits zero and then there's, you know, a big pause and you know, presumably a pick has been submitted, but there's just always that gap where you're not sure. The clock hits zero and there's no indication that the pick has been submitted. So you're sort of just in this holding pattern of uncertainty as to what happens next.
Yeah. And sometimes it is just the processing time, especially as you get in the later rounds, or a team can call timeout. Obviously, I believe in the first round, you cannot call timeout once you have hit the 0 point. Because the first round is a much more made-for-TV event as well. Mm-hmm. But there are times when you have made the pick, and the pick is made electronically. And then there just is a verification process. Sometimes, you know, especially for picks that are a little bit off of the board or maybe way off the board, they do have to verify sometimes the eligibility issues or what have you. So, yeah, it could be processing. The team may have taken a timeout, although usually they announce that. But that's a great question. I have never seen a team not make a pick.
Frank Provenzano is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Frank is in Dallas. That's where he lives for the 2018 NHL Draft. The Winnipeg Jets having drafted in the third round their most recent selection, Nathan Smith from Cedar Rapids of the United States Hockey League. You know, Frank, we were talking about this earlier in the program about how coming into the draft, the expectation was that there's going to be a flurry of trades. You heard all the names that were bandied about that were rumored to be making it to be going, and teams were going to reshape some of their rosters. And then pretty much an utter silence yesterday during round one, similar today so far in round two through seven so far. Are you surprised about how quiet it's been in terms of really any trades of any significance?
Yeah, surprised and kind of disappointed because you know, my focus really is on the NHL sort of player asset piece of this, not just the draft, but this whole time of year. You know, I have a sort of a superficial knowledge of the draft. And, you know, obviously when people talk about the draft superficially, they're usually talking about the first round, if not the top five picks. You know, it wasn't generally regarded to be a quote-unquote strong draft, although, you know, when I was working in the front office, I always thought that was a funny comment, you know, strong versus weak draft, because there were always great players that came out of there's going to be some great players that typically come out of Saturday. And, you know, going in, you wouldn't consider that a strong draft maybe if they were in the fifth round, for example, because in that case, everybody's wrong on them. We drafted Jamie Benn and John Klingberg both in the fifth round. And the truth of the matter is, even though those are great fifth-round picks, we were wrong, too. Because if we knew they were going to be that good, we would have drafted them on Friday night. But I'm surprised a little bit that there has not been more, especially when you look at a lot of the names on the sort of trade bait board. The biggest trade so far has been a backup goaltender and a player that's going to be bought out. And then I guess the biggest news today is Kovalchuk deciding where he goes. I think part of the issue holding it up is some of these trades are also relying upon teams that are acquiring them also working out contract extensions. So they're two-step processes in a way. And I think, you know, for some of these players that are maybe on the trade board, you know, you're looking at they want these long-term deals, and if they stretch well into the 30s, that performance sort of horizon for NHL players now has gotten younger and younger, and deals for players into their mid-30s now, early 30s, are much more risky than they used to be. And I do think that's part of it. Typically, a player will have to go to actual free agency to see where his market stands, and he's going to want a premium now versus a week from now even. So I think that's part of it. There's probably a number of factors in play, but I am a little surprised.
Frank, just to get away from the 2018 draft in Dallas here for a second, you mentioned earlier you worked as an assistant GM with the Washington Capitals for 7 years. How special was that for you to see the Capitals win their first ever Stanley Cup trophy?
It was awesome. I mean, I was so happy for that group. And it's funny, you know, as you get older, the NHL, you compete against each other, but in a lot of cases, too, you develop a lot of relationships. And again, that's why it was great to see a lot of these people for me personally here in Dallas this week. And it was really a joyous cup win for me, you know, having been part of that franchise, that group has been together so long. They've suffered so much collective heartache. Some of it I've been a part of, some of it I've watched from afar. And I think I just get the sense, too, the hockey world was kind of happy for the Washington Capitals and for Alex Ovechkin, you know, sort of the tragic hero, if you will, to finally climb the mountain. And in retrospect, too, Vegas was a great story this year. It just wouldn't, in my mind, wouldn't have seemed right if they won a Stanley Cup in their first year in the league and in doing so beat the long suffering Washington Capitals. So it was kind of joyous for me. And, you know, taking it back one round, I think that Winnipeg was the better team on paper than Vegas and probably in my mind should have been in the finals. But they're a team that's sort of at the front end of being in that group where they're legitimate cup contenders. And they're almost at the front end of where, say, the Caps were, you know, 10 years ago even, mm-hmm. and just how hard it is to get through into that final pairing, and then even harder to win it.
Frank Provenzano is a former NHL front office executive. He's currently in Dallas, where he lives, for the 2018 NHL draft. Frank, appreciate your time this morning. Thanks very much for joining us and providing some great insight into the machinations around the NHL draft.
Anytime, guys.
Thanks, Frank. We'll do it again real soon. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're hour number three of the program. Up next, more Winnipeg Jets draft picks. Lots more to come. You're listening to TSN Radio 1290.